This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, with my final class on the mentoring series, and I'll be speaking this morning on the spiritual aspect of mentoring. So oftentimes, when we speak of mentoring, we look at exposing our mentees to the systems, the structures, the know-how, the mental fortitude, and the emotional maturity that it takes to be successful without going through many scars. However, there is a very vital aspect of mentorship that many forget or that they ignore. And that is the spiritual aspect of it. According to the Bible, Joshua was a mentee to Moses. We saw the relationship between the two of them as it evolved from the very first moment Joshua laid his hands on Moses. Joshua became almost like a lapdog to Moses, followed him everywhere, poured water on his hand, would jump into any kind of fire as long as Moses says for him to jump. Joshua absolutely believed in Moses, that whenever Moses would go on his journeys into the mountains, Joshua would be right behind him. Whatever, if Moses was gone for 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua would be there all the way. Joshua was an excellent mentee. Sometimes because of his youth, when they had to do battle, Moses was never, it was part of the strategic session in the court of Pharaoh. But the Bible never showed us in any aspect how Moses went to war with any kingdom when he was with Pharaoh in Egypt. But he understood strategy, because as a prince, they were brought up to be part of the system and to learn from the sitting kings and the ruling councils everything about rulership. When he began to lead Israel, Joshua was the one that would be his hands and his eyes whenever they had any form of confrontation or whenever they had to go to battle. Joshua would lead the soldiers. He would train the soldiers. He would do anything Moses wanted. When they fought with the Amalekites, while Moses, Hur, and Aaron were on top of a mountain, Joshua was on the ground, right in the thick of battle, fighting. Joshua knew Moses. He had a passion for him. The Bible says that when the Lord said he was going to take out of the spirit that was on Moses and give to the 70 elders who became the Sanhedrin, that Joshua saw two of them who are not with Moses in the meeting prophesying on the streets, because they didn't come for the meeting, that the zeal of the Lord came upon Joshua. Joshua was like, why are they prophesying? Who are they? As if prophecy only belongs unto Moses. Moses was the one that calmed him down, told him, hey, take it easy. This is what the Lord wanted, because he had a strong zeal, a strong passion. He believed so much in Moses. Throughout Moses' mistakes, and Moses made many of them, You never saw Joshua accusing, fighting, backbiting, gang up against him. You never saw in any way where Joshua would just decide that, oh no, I want to go and side with some people. I want to take side with some people. No. He stood with an unblemished garment. His record as a mentee was 100% clean. Was one of the best mentees of the scriptures. Was like John the Beloved. And John the Beloved's dedication to Jesus. Jesus had other disciples, those who fought to have a seat on his right hand and left hand, those who fought that he should give them the kingdom now, those who wanted to make him king, those who are fighting for justly for a place, they are looking for personal relevance. John the Beloved was never like that. John the Beloved was like the lapdog of Jesus. Yes, sir. What can I do to make you comfortable? Wherever you say we should go, yes, sir, we are going. Whatever you say we should do, yes, sir, we are doing. If you say I should jump, how many times? You have mentees like that. There are mentees that they assume that they know more than you. There are mentees who use carnal knowledge to judge situations. They do not know the instruction God has given to you. They do not understand the phase that you are going into and the codes that God has given unto you. They respond by the flesh to things, and that is how you sieve them out. It's how you know mentees that will not endure. It's how you know when you are a leader and you have people that are around you, and maybe you are sleeping, and the Lord gave you a message. The Lord said, "Oh, tell all your mentees and those that are attached to you, for the next 7 days, you should do this." And you notice that two or three or four of your mentees are like, "No, why should we do that? No, I don't want that. It's overbearing. Is this? Is that?" That's the way by which God shows you that, hey, these ones are they are your mentees, but they do not have your spirit. They have their own spirit. They are here just to learn the structure, the system, and the modus operandi. But they are not here for the spirit that is behind your work. That's how you know. So oftentimes, when a person does not know that, you then, I've also made the mistake before, you then were quick to do certain things that you shouldn't do for them. For example, in the book of Timothy, in the scriptures, Paul writing to Timothy told him that he should not be hasty to lay his hands on people. Some people do not understand the depth of scripture. They don't pray for the sick for that reason. I remember one of my brothers wrote to me saying, I don't want to pray for the sick. I said, why? He said, because the Bible says we should not be hasty to lay our hands on people. And then I explained it to him that it is not laying on of hands for healing. It is laying on of hands for ministry. Because if you have somebody who doesn't have your spirit, and you lay hands on them and you make them pastors, or you make them deacons, or you make them prophets by ordination, and they do not know your God, or they have their own peculiar way of seeing things that is oddly always against you, or always with an agenda. They have an agenda of their own. And you do have any idea? You assume that, oh, all of us have the same vision. But they have an idea of their own, like Datta, Korah, and Abiram. They have an idea of their own. They have a rebellious characteristic. They like to make phone calls behind us and shoo, you know, and make you a topic. And you observed it. You do not, under any circumstances, open to them the secrets of the spiritual strength that you have. They can sit in the congregation. They can even follow you. They can learn the system, the structure, how you do your things. But you see, the strength of a mentor is spiritual. The strength of a mentor is spiritual. The Bible said, when it was time for Moses to depart the shores of this world, he called Joshua into the tabernacle. It was only him and Joshua. No elder, no other person was there. Then he laid his hands on Joshua and blessed him. And then he gave him instructions. If you read Joshua 1 and Joshua 2, you are going to see where Joshua said, "Oh, God said to me." No, it wasn't God, it was Moses. "Nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life." It was Moses that said it to him. But you see how he wrote it. It was as if he heard God speaking directly like this, that God was speaking to him the same way God speaks with Moses. That wasn't the way. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." It was Moses that said it to him. No other place in the Bible did you see God refer anybody to written word. Moses was the one that wrote the book of the law. So Moses then told Joshua, "This is the constitution by which you will guide the people." God never refers anyone to a constitution. Once you know God, God becomes your constitution. It was Moses that told him, "See, use this book to guide the people." Well, when he wrote about it, he said, "These are the word of instructions of God unto Joshua." It showed you the level of reverence that Joshua had for Moses, that he basically took the voice of Moses as the voice of God. And the Bible then said, Moses laid hand on Joshua and anointed him, imparted him with wisdom. That is the strength of a mentor. The spiritual depth that a mentee can never learn through watching, through copying, through any other means. It is impossible for you to take the anointing that is not given unto you. The anointing has to be used as given. You see, as given. It has to be used as given. So if it is not given unto you, you can't have it. You can have a measure of the anointing of the Holy Spirit as all believers have. You can have a measure of the anointing of the Holy Spirit as you develop yourself and build yourself as you pray in the Holy Ghost. But you cannot take from the anointing of another person if it is not willingly given. And this is the strength, the greatest strength of a mentor. And it has to be given to those to whom the mentor has seen has passed all the tests necessary. Otherwise, you will see a mentee who learned the system, the structure, the modus operandi from you. And then next tomorrow goes on his own way and begins to malign you. And you're like, everybody's like, "Oh, but you are the one that raised this person." And the person will be like, "No, I raised myself. I just happened to know him for a few days, but what did I learn from him?" You begin to have processes like that. And the problem with processes like that is that it corrupts the legacy of your work as a mentor. Of course, there'll be mentees that will not really appreciate the mentorship. There'll be mentees who you will teach, you will pour yourself into, but they wouldn't value it. It is human nature to have people like that. As long as you do not give them the key into the spiritual depths from where you operate from, the system structure, processes, and modus operandi that they learned will over the time lift off. Then you would hear of mentees who you taught in a particular system. You hear that they've gone to another mentor somewhere because suddenly the system that you taught them will no longer make sense to them. I was talking to a young man some time ago who had been under a particular mentor who I know had groomed so many world-class leaders. And he said, "Oh, I spent 15 years with him. And while I was with him, I was doing well. In fact, I had mastered everything I needed to know about business, about taking the anointing of the Holy Spirit into the business space and prospering there." He said, "Well, I do agree with some of his teachings, especially some of the aspects of his personal life. I didn't agree with those. So I left." So, but I've been gone. Now, after I left, I just noticed that things just stopped working. It was as if the things that were answering to me before were no longer answering. And then I had to abandon that line of business. And then I had to take up another mentorship under somebody else. And I went into the sale of wires and cables. It was previously dealing with, I don't want to mention the company, but they deal with aviation fuel. And this was where I spent 15 years learning, growing in under one man who is a pastor and also a mentor and a very well-known teacher. And that was where he was doing well before. And suddenly now he found himself doing wires and cables, and things were still very difficult. And he came to me for prayers, wanted to know, is it the enemy? Is somebody affecting him? Why is it that other people have prospered? They didn't move forward. And then I sat him down and I said to him, "You have a rebellious spirit." That was the first time I was meeting him. "You have a rebellious spirit. You are one of those people that you think you're smart, you think you're wise in your own counsel. So because you think you're wise in your own counsel, you want to learn the ways of a man. You want to learn the systems of a man. You want to learn the modus operandi of a man, but you are not wise enough to receive the spirit of that man. The spirit that has been poured upon him, by which he was able to navigate these things in realms beyond the physical." As a Christian, personally, there are hurdles that I've crossed that I cannot explain physically. When I was a church pastor, we had this church growth system. They would say to us that if you can cross the 100 member threshold, that the next target would be how to cross the 200. If you can cross the 200, the next target will be how to cross the 300. Once you cross the 300, the next target is the 500. There are some churches, they never get to 100. When they get to around 90, they just stall at 90. There are some, they never get to hit 200. There are some, they never get to hit 500. They try everything, but it seems they have only capacity of 500, and they wonder why. They will build a building, they want to do two services. They put in all the systems and structures. It couldn't work. And I remember those days, they used to teach that if you want to cross certain levels, look for pastors who have crossed that level. Invite them to your church. Let them come and minister there for maybe 2 or 3 Sundays, that there is a grace upon them that will join the crowd and help you cross that number. But the problem will be how to then maintain it. So you must build up your capacity. You must build up your everything there to do to keep the numbers growing. You know, I never went through any of that as a minister when the Lord eventually gave me my own work. I never had the headache about crossing 100, crossing 200. I remember the first church that was planted in Lagos. Day one that I said we are opening this church, we had hundreds of people overflow. Like day one was a Friday, Night of Glory, February 2020, Night of Glory, last Friday of the month. People couldn't, there was no seat for people. That was day one. I never had to go through that hurdle. But when I was a pastor, I went through shaggy, trying to push beyond my abilities. And so people would often come to me and they would say, "How? How are you able to just blaze through?" And I would tell them, it is just by the Spirit. I cannot. There was no system. There was no strategy. There was no nobody taught me anything. That's the truth. Well, everything I learned in church, and what I know was what I know. What you didn't know, what you don't know, you don't know. I didn't know there was no strategy. There was no, oh, this is the system to get people to come. No, there was nothing like that for me. The Holy Spirit orchestrated it. And several times when people would then invite me to other churches to minister, they will experience the same. When I go to this place, the crowd will come. When I go to that place, the crowd will come until it became established that, oh, there's a spirit, that the Spirit of God is behind this. And so when I was going to leave a particular church, I wasn't very happy with the pastor or the leadership. So I watched them from afar, watched. And I noticed they were struggling. The numbers refused to increase. Things, and they were doing everything. They were doing to everything. And one day I was praying, and the Lord said to me, "If you want them to do well, you have to have a discussion with my son, that is their pastor, and you then have to lay hands on him. You have to. Once you do that, the numbers will surge." And I was like, wow. Because that will be the first time that the Lord will speak to me in that way. And so one Sunday, without announcing it, just got to my car, drove down to the church. When I got there, I saw just a few people in the church. In their presence, I laid hands on their pastor, and their pastor had another title at the time. So I then ordained them as a pastor in front of everybody. I also ordained his wife as a deaconess, and I left. And after that, the church began to move forward. They began to move well. They began to make progress. That is the spiritual aspect of mentorship. Beyond the systems, beyond the counsel, beyond the advice, beyond the how-to and the technical know-how and the modus operandi, the mode of operation, beyond the exemplary leadership that they can follow in your footsteps, beyond all that, the anointing is key. That is why it is important to mentor people. Because it is not good that you walk with the Lord and the anointing of the Lord is increasing in you every day, and you take the anointing away without imparting it on others. While people can grow, and the Holy Spirit is helping people to grow so that they can also man their own stations independent of supervision, those that the Lord has called unto you, they have that right to partake of the Spirit of God and the benefit of the Spirit of God without going through the rigors that you went through simply by the power of impartation. And so we saw how it was so easy for somebody like Peter for someone like John, or for Apostle Paul, and others who are close to Jesus, to scale spiritual heights after they had spent time with Jesus and after Jesus had given them purpose when their mentorship was done. So it is key that a mentor must raise mentees, but while you are raising them, you pay attention to them. You pay attention to their ability to follow, their ability to take in instructions and obey them, their ability to look at your system and adapt to it, their ability to follow instructions. As it is within the purview of the leadership of God in your life to follow instructions, to do what the Lord says to do. The ability to dissent, to say no. But how was the no said? You know, there is no and there is no. There are times you say something to your mentee will be like, no, I'm not doing that. And there are times the mentee will say, oh, I don't want to do that. Or, okay, I don't think that will work. Or, okay, let me do it. And there are times when your mentee would see that something is illogical. You know he has a brain. You know she has a brain. And you see, this is what to do. And the person says, does not make any sense. But at thy word, you see your mentees that go with at thy word. Ah, those are the ones that are deserving of the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The mentees that go with at thy word. Who will see that there is a sea in front? And you are telling them to walk into the sea with you. And you are telling them, just lift up your hands and walk. And they do not question. Even though in their heart there is a lot of doubt, even though in their hearts there is trembling, but they see that you are going and they charge with you. And then they lift up their hands, their hands as you lifted up yours, and they see paths. Ah, those are mentees that are worthy of the anointing. When you look at the book of Gideon, in the selection of the army of Gideon, you will see how God used a lot of imagery to screen out those who are not worthy to be with Gideon in that particular army. You see also Jesus, after feeding 5,000 and the number of people that came to his ministry surged, you see how he then screened them out by teaching a particular hard message. The Bible said when he taught and he told them, you have to eat of my flesh, you have to do this, I have come to turn mothers against their daughters, fathers against their sons, and they said this is a hard teaching. And many of them left. When they were leaving, Jesus was not unhappy, just watching them. They just turned to Peter and he said, Peter, won't you go too? And then Peter said, where shall we go? Where shall we go? It has been given unto you. The word of life has been given unto you. We are here to partake of it. So where shall we go? That is a mentee that is worthy of the anointing. So the role of the mentee here is to do that which was instructed and to do it without raising dust. The role of the mentor is to reward the mentee with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will propel him beyond his level of limitation to another greater height. The spiritual reward for being a good mentee is spiritual impartation. And this is the final stage at which mentorship ends. When you have laid your hands on a mentee and you have set them free, you will see how they will fly. You will see them flying all over the world. You see them doing great things, and your heart will dance and rejoice, for you have completed the work that the Lord has given unto you over that mentee. I believe this has blessed us. Father, I give you glory for your children. Thank you, because we have all learned over the last 3 weeks the power of mentorship, and we are growing in it daily. We are raising others even as we are raised. Blessed be your holy name. Glory, honor, and adoration to your name. As we go out today, Father, we are full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In all the works that we will do, we are walking by the Spirit, and we are bringing forth the fruit of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout,
glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.